My wife was just asking me to do that, and I probably would, but I just feel like the Lord has specifically put this emphasis on the ladies right now, and I've already been prayed for, so I'm just waiting for the Lord to do his work. I've felt some relief already, so I'm glad for that. It's interesting because sometimes when I'm bending down, I'll feel a little bit of a pain, but I trust that it's going to go away here soon. Actually, one of the reminders I had when we were in prayer this morning was, oh, I'm sorry. I've been wanting Jan to do a special, and I'm going to let her do it in just 1 second. I have been feeling a little bit of that pain, but today I was reminded that sometimes in our pain instrument, you get to hear very often. So thank you, Jan, for sharing that with us. Amen. I want to give a message to the mothers and the ladies today. I think all of us can glean something from it, so would you just do me the favor of listen for what the Lord has for you in this sermon this morning. But the title to this message is A Mother's Untiring Devotion. And if you'll notice, I won't have anything more than just verses up on the front. Isaac, if you would, you could probably pull up the first. If you'll go to John chapter 19, we're going to be looking at verses 25. 26, and probably a little bit of 27. A mother's untiring devotion. How many of you know that in order to be a mother, it's a tireless job? I mean, you've got to do it constantly. There's never an hour of the day that you shouldn't be prepared. You're either on call or you're doing something. Moms, we are grateful for what you've done, and you know, I can say personally that I have a deep attachment to my own mother. My wife was just sharing with me earlier this week. She said, you know, when you and your mom get together, you have this kind of connection between the two of you that it's really hard to get other people to fit into that context. And, you know, had she not said that, I don't know that I would have paid attention to. We've just gotten used to something over the years, but my mom and I have kind of our own little code or our own language that we speak, and we can share things and benefit from one another a lot from that. And, you know, interestingly, I was talking to another guy earlier this week, and he had made the statement. He says, I'm more like my mom than I am my dad, and I think that would be true of me too. There's traits that my mom have carried, and I recognize one of those things that I remember with my mom is, I'm just giving you guys opportunity to turn to John chapter 19, just in case, but I remember from my mom is one of those traits is that she's a giver. She's always been a giver. She'll give to her own hurt. When she doesn't have, she'll make sure that you have, and she's just been that throughout her life, and I would say that I have one of those qualities. As a matter of fact, if the Lord has to tell me something, it's usually not, I need you to give, I need you to quit giving so much or under these circumstances. Or he needs me to pray for more provision to do so, one or the other. So if you'll look here in John chapter 19, I want to look at verses 25 and 26 and 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. Now, the first part that I recognize there in that first verse in 25 is, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. It didn't say his dad, it didn't say his brothers or his brother. It didn't say another family member other than his mother's sister and Mary Magdalene. But I think it's phenomenal to note that is many of us are going to be able to walk back in life and just remember a mother that was there for us. But you have to remember that this just wasn't just being there. This was the most crucial time. And I've heard this said, and I think this is true, one of the best ways that God can anoint us is to have presence when it's needed. You know, when we have a dying family member or somebody who's at that crucial state in life, that's when the most important time to show up is. And so you have to remember, too, you have to think about, and this is one of those things we have to draw our imagination toward, because it doesn't tell us what Mary was feeling, but I bet we could imagine. I mean, I actually think about with Mary when Jesus was, before he was born, and it was just the announcement of the angel to Mary and said that you are now the mother of the Savior of the world, and what's going to be born in you is holy and conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it said Mary pondered those things in her heart. And imagine this, the one woman in the entire world, and from generation to generation, from the beginning of humanity to human's race to the end of human's race, she was the only woman that would ever give birth to the Son of God. That's something to ponder. That's a motherhood that you don't want to miss the mark on. If there's any woman who has this thought on her mind, I don't want to fail my son. I don't want to do things that God doesn't approve of. I don't want to miss it in what it means to be a mother. This is the mother of all mothers, essentially. Powerfully, that God would actually choose any human being for that to happen, because he knows the frailty that's in each one of us. But he did her, and so you have to go into the back of her life to think about probably what this moment means to her and how difficult it would be for her to watch him being crucified. If I could put in words what my thought would be, it would be this. It would be probably most likely she would say, if there's any way that he can come off of that cross and his life can be spared for my mother's heart's sake, make it happen. Please, I beg you, make this happen. I want to see the salvation of the world, but I can't stand, I can't live, I can't bear the thought of losing my son. He was as much her son as he was her savior in that way. And so I can only imagine what was going into her heart, and probably in many ways that most of us don't, because we relate with our children as children, but not as the savior of my soul and my son, or and my child as well. And so you have to bring some of those things into mind and begin to imagine the weight of that, as it were, for her. And so, but here she is standing at his cross, and what I see in this is, and ladies, you're going to be able to relate, I'm sure, whether it's your children or somebody that you care about, God bred inside of you a divine, powerful love that feels like natural to you, but men don't feel it like you do. And he's given a love to you that even when you are struggling in your most painful moment in life, you will still be there for somebody else. Now, there's men who will do that, but there's only a way that a woman, with that tenderness, and that motherliness that God has bred inside of you, whether you've gotten the chance to be a mother and give life to physical children or not, it's still come out of you throughout your lifetime. It's still been on display one way or another. We've felt that from women from one side of life to the other. We've definitely noticed that. Imagine how hard it was for her in that moment, knowing that she couldn't do anything to relieve his pain, but yet she was still there. How many of you ladies can relate with that? I know what it's like. I can't stop the pain, but my presence will be there. I'll be there to cry. I'll be there to bear the struggle, the personal struggle it is to watch you go through what you're going to go through. But I will be a nurse that will cherish, be there to love, and my presence will be there to comfort you if nothing else can. And you know, noticeably, I think that's so important, because some of you ladies have carried that and never been recognized for it. You know, on a Mother's Day like today, I wonder how many women, how many especially mothers, would say, my children won't call me today. Nobody's going to even say anything or gift me the presence or the recognition of those. And you're not asking for it, because you gave that gift of love incredibly selflessly. Most likely that's what it was. But there's a return policy in the kingdom of God. That's why I think Paul writes to us and he says, give honor to whom honor is due. And there has to be a return policy in the kingdom of God. And interestingly, one of those Ten Commandments for us is honor your father and mother. And if you do, there's like the hope of lasting life, longer lifespan for just being faithful to that. Interestingly, I think because God has a special place for fathers and mothers, and many of us that are young will come to that place of time, but I think this is one of those times that this, to me, is the Mother's Day of all Mother's Day, right here in our Bibles. It's one of those things that when I look at, it like challenged me because I remembered, I was thinking, you know, how much do I let my own mother know on Mother's Day? Maybe a phone call comes, but is there more that I could do? And I think one of the best things I could do is before I call her, before I reach out to minister to her and let her know, thank you, Mom, and happy Mother's Day, maybe I just need to think about and rewind my life and when my mom was there. And how my mom walked through those hard times with me in life. And when she might have been the only one, when my dad wasn't there, but she was there. I want to share this story with you because it reminds me of how precious our mothers are, really. And I think I've shared this before, but I just want to say it again. My mom, when my dad was an alcoholic, and he destroyed our home as a result of that. And my mom, for her own safety sake, had to leave the home in order to get free of the tyranny of my father. But when we were left there, his struggle with alcoholism drove him to spend almost every penny that he had. And of course, anybody who knows an alcoholic knows that for the most part, they can't hold down a job and continue to supply for their home. And yet that was the atmosphere that I was growing up under. And so I remember looking into the refrigerator and there would be almost nothing in the refrigerator for food. Cupboards practically bare, but there were beer boxes and empty beer cans stacked up alongside the wall. Well, my mom, at the risk of her own safety, would go buy boxes of food for us. Somehow she found out. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, there's some mothers in here that you would say, it's just your intuition to know when your kids are suffering. Nobody said anything. Nobody told you anything. You just have that God-given gift to just know there's something that's not right. And so somehow my mom knew of that, and she came and she would drop off boxes of food for us. My dad would send me to the store to go buy cigarettes for him, but maybe a loaf of bread, but as far as that was, it was always bare minimum. You know, I love my dad. I don't want to speak ill of him thinking that that's what I want everybody to know, but at the moment, I want to elevate my mother. I want the people to know how precious she is, and how many of you ladies could relate with, if that were you, maybe that was not your children because they grew up in a better home, but had they grown up in that environment, wouldn't that have been you? Wouldn't you have done that? You're like, I don't care what he's going to do. I'm going to supply food for my kids. I'll be there when I could. And he made a horrible difficulty for her to have us in her life. Eventually, we were under her care and under her home. It was a struggle for her, but she did it well. And she's left a permanent mark inside of my heart because she did. And so I think it would be our duty, in light of what we're reading here in these verses, to think about that our mother stood at our cross, as it were, our points of our conflicts in life, and we're there in crucial hours. And we need to just remember that as we prepare to just say thank you and love them on Mother's Day. And maybe that means that when we think of that, it touches our heart to do something deeper than we would have done had we not thought about it. And there may be some would say, that wasn't my mom. My mom wasn't like that. My mom was grievous. She was a horrible mother. But what I want to do is say this. God never created her to be that way. She had a different intent in the mind of God. She just fell and walked away from it. And to think about this, God's design was far more precious than she had ever experienced. And wouldn't it be wonderful if they're still alive today to be able to invite them in to that hope that God has for them? You know, you may have missed it along the path of motherhood up to a certain point, but that doesn't mean that there's not redeeming grace for the moment of where we live right now and leading forward. So sometimes we have to bear in that your life has been a matter of life of forgiveness, but still, you want to love what God intended, even if that's not what happened. Mary was gifted with a love that didn't turn her away from the horrors of the Messiah or her son's crucifixion. As we shared on Good Friday, some of that which we would have, and just the whip alone and the bone and the stone and the lead or whatever they put inside of that just to make it so that it would rip and tear at the skin of a person. That was what he was going through. And she'd already seen Jesus mangled on the cross. Remember, he was mangled beyond human recognition. And he hung there mangled for her salvation and the salvation of the world so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Imagine how she was looking at that, thinking, if I could have stopped him from just being beaten before he was now hung on the cross. And interestingly, as we read they were parting his garments, and it was just when he saw her, and after he said, "Woman, this is your son," and behold, to the disciple, "This is your mother," just after that, it says in verse 28, and after this, for verse 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. I want you to just capture that for a minute. I'm going to come back to that. Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. All I can say is, after he assigns to his mother, John, to be her son, this is the final finish. So now think about this. This is not Jesus getting ready to be nailed to the cross. This is after he's nailed to the cross. This is not only after he's nailed to the cross, but this is about the time he's about to die. And he can't yet die because he has to recognize his mother. And this is a part. And it says that he recognizes after he assigns John to his mother that now everything has been accomplished. That says to me that God has an extreme view of mothers. Because if that wasn't true, then Jesus wouldn't have, you know, and I've done this at different times, certain family members, sometimes it's been my wife to my regret, but I've had those moments when I was so busy and I was accomplishing something. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to get something done, and she's coming out, or one of my kids are coming out to kind of distract me in the moment, and I just refuse to be distracted because I'm on mission. But you want to capture this. No mission was greater. No mission required more attention and focus. You don't get your attention off the least detail when you're being crucified for the salvation of the world. And God made sure to include the mother in all of this. That just blows me away. That touches my heart. So ladies, I think the reality is that if you're not getting recognized, it's not because God didn't assign something to all of us to look at and say, "Whoa, wait a second. My mother deserves a whole lot more recognition than I've ever thought of." See, we'll have celebrations, we'll have parades, we'll have all kinds of things, we'll do things for people that we have high honor for. And it's weird how our culture has gotten to the place that honor is just, you know, a quick thank you or a quick appreciation like that, but it's not this deep, earnest, an overflowing kind of appreciation. But as I look at this today, that's what I feel like God speaks to my heart is, don't undervalue what I have high value for. And you can't honor your mothers enough, in a sense. So put that to heart. Give that to heart. And some of you ladies, you need to be ready for, if the Lord puts something in the heart, you need to receive it. As my wife was saying, sometimes we're saying, no, that's all right. You know, there's that selflessness back of, I'm just grateful that, no, just open your heart and receive it in the full. Let your sons and daughters share with you how much and how important you are to them. If you get that grant, that opportunity, don't let them off the hook. Don't let them off the hook. This is the day that they should be. Ladies, recognize your sense of the importance that God has placed on you in this way. The vigilant love, Mary was gifted with a love that didn't turn her away from the horrors of seeing her Messiah son crucified. The vigilant love of a godly mother ensures she will be with her suffering children even when helpless to do anything to stop those sufferings. One of the greatest gifts God can give us is not just a mother who will be there in your greatest hour of need, but one who will be there for you even when it is her greatest hour of need. Come on, I mean, that's the reality here. That is the powerful reality check is, some of you ladies, I just gotta say, it's phenomenal. I mean, sometimes we think healing of cancer, that's a miracle. No, a woman who can love somebody else in her greatest hour of need, that's a miracle. That's a phenomenal miracle to me. And so we see this as a picture, but you know what delights my heart is? It doesn't just emphasize the mother, it emphasizes the heart of God. So this is where I want you to look in verse 26. It says, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother, I want you to just capture that piece. When, and whatever crowd and people were there, Jesus saw his mother. Of everybody that was in the crowd, Jesus saw her. He knew what she was going through. He knew that she needed comfort, not just she was there to give comfort. He knew that she needed something for her soul in that hour. She had raised him and was there for him, but she needed something special too. Even though in one way Mary didn't get her ultimate prayer answered, she would be ensured of her heart's desire. Now, this is my picture, and I think this is really important because I see a complexity in the world of motherhood. And that is, if you could, for all of your children, you would make sure that their life was paved with ease, pleasure, and never any pain. If you could, you would make sure every one of your kids never had any struggles in their life. And I watch my own wife to care for our children. And believe me when I say that when your kid turns 18, and some of you have already been there and know what I'm talking about plus, when your kids turn 18 and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this? I knew the day was coming, I just didn't think about all of the nuances that come with this reality that you're not going to be under my care and under my provision, and I can't be the guy and you can't be the mother who tells them for their adult life what to do and everything. Even though you're like, you should. You'd be better off if you listened to me, if you just let me tell you what to do. Life would be so much better. But I saw this as a new struggle come into our home, advance in, as now this feeling of motherhood in some way is starting to feel like it's being stripped away as your children are starting to become adults. And the seasons of motherhood are changing, aren't they? From being the mother to infants, to the mother of teens, now young adults, and eventually adult children. And now you've had to endure so many of those different seasons of life. As we see new mothers coming in and new babies coming in, it always pleases our heart to see new children coming in and think about now the importance of that is to feed and nourish and nurture and teach the children to the point of being able to raise themselves and do what God's called them to do in life. So I see that challenge of I'm going to have to release. You know, I think we bought into that parenting was going to not be, it was not going to be catch and release. It was going to be catch and I'm keeping you in the boat. You're going to stay here for the rest of your life. But then we realized having a 40-year-old son or daughter in our home, staying in our home and never branching out in life isn't good. So we knew that we have to actually release them into the world. So that's our challenge. But some of you have already met with that challenge. And when this happens, and I think of this thought of women and mothers wanting to pray just that never anything bad happens. And then when you watch your son and daughter go through something excruciating, the pains of life hit them. Sometimes even watching, they miss the will of God along the path, and it's so hard. It's a crucifying feeling to you personally to watch your kids not hit the mark in life. And some of you have watched some very difficult things happen. And still, unto this day, would say, my heart is broken for my son or my daughter. I want to see things different than what they are. And some of you on the other side are saying, I have seen not only great success in their life, but unfold a glorious testimony of what Jesus has done in them. And I am such a proud mother today of what I see in my sons and my daughters. And I'm so proud of the man and woman that they have become in front of me. Some of us are just proud of our little children as we're watching them develop and they look like they love Jesus. And I've watched that in each one of my kids at different times, loving Jesus and then watching different things come in and become its own challenge to that. Then I see this probably with Mary is, if she could just undo all of this, take him off the cross, bandage his wounds, keep him from this kind of suffering, she would have. And I could see it just being the deep cry of her heart. And I could hear almost some women saying, God, why won't you? Why won't you? Why couldn't you? Why didn't you change this for me? And I can hear that cry in some ladies today saying, I don't understand. This should have been different. This wasn't the vision that I had. This isn't what I saw in my mind. When I was holding her or him in my arms, I sang over them, I saw something different than what I am in the moment. And there's that cry in you, this shouldn't have happened. And I could see that with Mary. But had she had her way, there would have never been a salvation, bloodshed for the world around us. There would have been no way of forgiveness of the sins of which we've committed. And so I can see the heart of the Father saying, I understand, I see you, I hear your heart, I love you and I care for you, but I can't grant you that. I can't give you your heart's desire because it doesn't coincide with my will. But what I will do is I will give you what coincides with your heart's desire that coincides with my will. And so he gave her John. Now, I don't know about you, but it's going to be hard to be the man who has to live up to Jesus. But I can see this. I can see us all. And guys, this is for you today. This is me saying, one of the problems that we could face is that when we want God to do this and it doesn't happen, you miss what he's giving you instead. I didn't see the John because all I could focus on was the Jesus. Now, I want you to make sure to hear, I'm not getting my doctrine wrong. I'm not saying we're putting Jesus out. I'm saying that what we wanted, what we felt was this would be God's will for our life, isn't what we ended up getting. So we wouldn't let God give us the John, and we wouldn't accept the John, and we wouldn't accept the new place and the new son for our life. And I can see, ladies, that could be a struggle for some, and maybe some to this very day that needed this word from the Lord. Is you need to take what God has given. He has answered your prayer. He has heard your heart's cry. And he hasn't given you what doesn't coincide with his will. But I can imagine this thought of looking at John as like, you're not Jesus. You're not anything like him. You're great, but you're not like Jesus. And so when God gives us things, in many ways, it doesn't compare to what we had or what we would like to see God give. But it's still his, and it's what he's given us. And the power of that is once we get past what we wanted and what we actually receive from the Lord, you get to live the vibrant motherhood life from season to season as it changes. As women, you get to grow in from season to season life. As men, we get to flourish in the kingdom of God, because what we realize is this: God definitely provides according to his will. And when I can be satisfied with that, when I can flourish with that, when my heart's joy is found in that, then it's like when God gives that to me, it's like God taking me in to his home and caring for me. And he uses the John to do that, so that he can do the rest of what coincides with his will. You know, there's definitely things I would say, and I don't know. I don't know for different people, but I would say we've all been in those struggles. Believe me. One of those times, I have to revisit my mind and think, what if that hadn't happened? But for my family, and my wife and kids were returning, and this was years ago, returning from Montana, and I was still there with a friend of mine. And they left to come home early, and coming down Snow Hollow Hill, the car got out of control and went over the embankment. This is a miracle. Every time I talk about this with my sons, I'm like, this is just an amazing miracle. That car, if you know Snow Hollow Hill, that's North Highway, and that's as you start going up the mountain. And Caleb said that he just was with my wife the other day and wanted to go take a look of that again after a good number of years, and he'd forgotten about it. And it takes your breath away, because you realize from where I'm standing to that window, you could at least double the distance. And the slope was like this, and there was just a little bit of a flat spot that was about the width of the car itself. And the car landed on its tires, having flipped at least one time, and flipped the opposite direction and landed on its tires in the middle of the hill on that spot in the snow. No trees, no rocks, nothing to stop it from going down to the bottom of that hill. So to me, that's miraculous. It's something we can't manage, we can't keep. And so, but what if that day had turned out differently? Because not a scratch on any one of them. Well, all of them walk away from it. The car damaged, but none of my family members damaged. Their lives spared. But had that day turned out otherwise, had I lost one or all of them in that moment, could I have opened my heart up to the John that God would have had behind that? See, God never, listen to me, God never dismisses the hardships and the things you go through. You've just got to see what's on the other side of that. And if you let the pain and the sorrow take you and hold you and keep you captive, you will never see the blessings that God gave to comfort you, God gave to care for you, God gave to love you, so that you would never lose that reality in your life. So we just want to speak to those who may be going through that burden, have been there, and let the delight of that, and that day didn't turn out that way. And I get to share what God has done. But I know that there's people who would look at me and say, but Pastor, that wasn't my reality. I lost my loved one to some tragedy. I mean, I wanted to see that happen for them. Does God not love me like he loved you? No. So what he's done is that he's provided in his grace something more for you, for what you've gone through, than what I needed. But you need to see that. And your joy lies behind that door. Your joy lies behind that door. And if I would be speaking, and I believe I am, if I'm speaking to those of you who would say, that's me. I have received what the Lord has done in your life, then what I invite you to do is share that testimony with others. Share what the joy of it is to be in Jesus Christ, to know what it's like to have limps in life and struggles and still have the joy of the Lord. Still have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God in your life. Nothing would mean more to the world around us and the culture we live in and the Christians that are struggling to just know. You know, it's powerful. And so, you know, as I think about this pain in my back, and it's like, and I'll be honest with you, and I want to close with this thought, but when I first felt it, it was at the beginning of the work that we were doing. And we'd already set the day in motion to do the work here at the church. And I was rolling one of those planters around, and it was dry soil, so it really wasn't heavy, and I was just rolling it. I didn't pick it up like you would expect somebody who's going to get a back injury to do. I didn't pick it up and do anything with it, and I didn't think anything of it. And then I just felt that, like, oh, in my back. And I wanted as much as anybody to be a part of, you know, putting the rock down and all that. I could have abandoned post and not done it, but that's just not me. Maybe later on I will say, well, maybe I should have, but under the circumstances, that wasn't me. And so shoveling rock and unloading rock just to make it what we've wanted to do for quite a while. And I realized while I was in this pain and we were praying this morning, you know, Lord, sometimes being in good health, sometimes being in the place where things are going really well, we have the tendency, and I know I do, to forget the people who are going through those pains and been going through them for years. And my back pain has been up and down. I've had some major issues with it. And so when I woke up last night, I have a pain that's been going from my back here to my side and wrapping around this. And so when I go to turn, I'll feel this like deep struggled pain. And I know that the Lord is my healer. I know that he's good enough, but I don't think that because I'm not feeling the healing right in the moment that he's not loving me deeply in it. And one of the greatest loving things that God, I think, has done so far through this is to give me a thought about, you know, people are going through these pains. Is like, this isn't going away and God hasn't healed me of it. What do I do with that, Pastor? I said, you love him anyway, right? You love him anyway. And you learn to be the testimony of those who love in the suffering as well as when God gives the relief. Because our greatest gift is Jesus. That is our greatest gift in this life and beyond this life. And one day, we're never going to be aching with these bodies anymore. They're not going to be having a hold and letting you know when you're feeling like you can't and when you wish you could. You're going to have a new body that the Lord's going to give to you. And I know it's going to be glorious when it is. So just get ready for it. And every healing you get, as I said before, is an appetizer for the resurrection. Healing is just an appetizer. It's not what we're looking for. It's just what's going to come plus later on. So I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for the ladies as we get ready to take communion. But I would like this, because every one of us have a mother, don't we? And this would be the time that we could pray for our mothers and devote a part of our service to praying for them, for their good, for their welfare, and for their encouragement in their days to come. So if you would, I would like for you to do that with me. I'm going to give and invite some of you to come to the altar. Oh, my wife's in the background letting me know something, so I'm going to say it now. We have some roses for the ladies. And what we'd like to do is first make sure that every lady gets one here. But if there's any left over, if you would wait until we've made sure that every lady's got one, feel free to take an extra one to give to another lady on Mother's Day. And there's also some chocolates as well for the ladies. It's a small token of our appreciation for you, and believe me, it's not even close to what you deserve today. But it's our way of saying we're grateful for you. We love you very much. But we want to give an opportunity for those of you who just want to pray at the altar. Spend some time to pray for your mothers. We want to give you an opportunity to do that as well. So what I'm going to do is I want to pray, close with prayer, and then Isaac will turn on some music in the background. I'm going to open up the communion elements for you. So I will give some scripture on the communion. And while you receive it, pray for your mothers. While you receive it, pray for your mothers. And if they're passed on, then pray for a mother that you know who could use your prayer right now. But let's be praying for those of whom, and also for yourself, if for your children. I'm sure, ladies, you'll do that just naturally. But pray for your children as well. So I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to read these verses for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be looking here at starting at verse 23. I want to pray before I do. Father, thank you for the tremendous women around us. And Father, truthfully, what makes it great is that you have divinely deposited a love that's not natural, but supernatural. And you have enabled women from all walks of life. You have given them what is needed to be what only they can do through your hand and strength and your power in their life. So, Father, I want to pray that there would be encouragement to women. And, Father, the best way I could pray for that is that every lady in this place, every woman here, needs to know that you're looking down on them right now. You see them. In the crowd of thoughts, the crowd of people, the things that are going on in their life, that none of that matters as much as they do to you. And I know that every one of them need to know how special, how important, and how necessary they are in your eyes. Lord, some need it more now, like it's their last breath of air, and some of them not so much, but they still need to know it because it's their life source. And I want to pray for that this morning, that Jesus, every one of them get that. And there are mothers and ladies in this house that are not here with us. Oh, if they could have heard. Oh, the ones that needed it the most, Lord, we may not have been here. And so it would be our prayer today, Father, that they would find the encouragement, the help they need, the strength that they are in your will and walking with you today. And so, Jesus, help them. Lord, every woman needs the strength that you can give. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that they might know your love and the power of your love, your divine touch. And remove them from the battle, Lord, of feeling like they didn't get from you. Lord, help each one of them discover their John today. Discover what you have provided out of your love and care and take gladness and shelter under that. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." One more time. "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Oh, brothers and sisters, take this into your heart right in the moment. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." But, thank you for that, "let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Father, we would pray this morning that, Lord, each one of us would examine our hearts as well as we prepare to honor and cherish our mothers. Examine our hearts and to make sure that we have not cherished our mothers more than we have cherished the God who gave us life. To honor the one who's given us life. the greatest sacrifice and our greatest need. And thank you, Jesus, for being that for us. And so, Jesus, I would pray now, Lord, that we would help us just look where we are. And if there's any area, brothers and sisters, if there's any area of your life that you know isn't right with God, that you shouldn't be repeating it over and over again, that you wouldn't refuse to take communion, but that you would bring that with the communion time and repent and ask the Lord's forgiveness so that you can be put back in the right place with the Lord and then eat and drink as you do. We would ask you to do that. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name. So Isaac, if you would, I'm going to have you turn on the music, and each one of you, as this is the reason I do it this way, and I just remind you, because I want people to come forward and receive the elements, but I want you to do it at your time. I want you to feel free to come to the altar or spend some time with the Lord. It's just his time with you. So no other design behind it, just very personal. I want it to be very personal. So Isaac.